I guess I'm with Mark this morning. I had a song on my mind this week, but it wasn't Count Your Blessings. The month here, I'm springboarding really off of the last lesson that I have on identity, and it's about conflict in life, except I don't want to talk about conflict, because conflict's negative. So we're going to talk about peace, and peace and harmony. A rough draft of some sermons that for the month right now, and honestly, I'm kind of working my way through and see where they take me. And today's lesson is about peace and harmony, and when I say within us, within me, that you have peace and harmony within yourself. And I threw harmony in there because it kind of fits. Harmony is more in line with unity, but I'm really thinking about just peace. Having peace in our life. How do we have peace in life when we know we also have conflict? There's always demands, and I can't repeat, Mark, exactly what you said, but I related to it so well. There's just times when everything's always going wrong, and somebody's always complaining about this or complaining about that, and this ain't right, and that ain't right. And whew, sometimes we get tired, and we get pick up a box of ice cream or a box of cookies, you know, and there's lots of ways we handle a conflict. And so I want to turn to Scripture, though, and I want to look at what we're offered and what opportunity we have, and also analyze conflict in and of itself. Sometimes, at least in my mind, I think if I understand things, I can cope with things better, right? At least that's the way I look at it, and I want to look this morning about that. But you remember from the 1970s, this was my song. I'd like to buy the world a cup. We all know that song. That's just a happy little melody, isn't it, right? And it was a song about unity, actually. The commercial is labeled the Hillside commercial. And it's about everybody kind of getting along and drinking a Coca-Cola. And everybody had their, I didn't know this until I looked it up, but that commercial on the hillside, they had people from lots of different nationalities. And the idea was, you know, it's just a happy song, right? And so there was that peace and harmony. And that was the song that stuck in my mind this week, right? I like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. These are all good things, right? Grow apple trees and honeybees, snow white turtle doves. It just paints beautiful pictures of peace. But we live in the world. And I read about this, and it also made a note, South Africa didn't like the diversity of the group. There was too much dark skin in it. They literally asked Coke, remake that except take all the dark skin people out. What? Did you listen to the song? That's right. But in reality, we have conflict in life. We do. And everything's not peaches and creams and butterflies and unicorns or whatever, right? It's not. And it won't be. So how do we have this peace? We're promised peace. Peace is accessible to us. But how do we have that? And then it reminded me of some of the peace we don't have in this world. The other song was in my mind. Maybe you remember Don Henley, Dirty Laundry. You know, and if you look at the lyrics of that, the whole idea is the hysteria, you know, everybody loves somebody else's problems. They're dirty laundry. Just give me something we can use. People love it when you lose. They love failure. They love adversity. They love, you know, if somebody dies and something, they want to see pictures. Show us it ties into this whole reality TV thing we've got going on, right? The idea that we want to be astonished or even scared and worried. We need to be scared about these things, whatever it is, you know. In a derogatory way, I see that news is selling hysteria. This is the core of it, because we're buying. Everybody here may not, but you understand. We're drawn to that, right? We are drawn to that. Now, in all fairness, Don Henley wrote that song. He was also being plastered in the media because he'd done some things he wasn't supposed to do, and so he had a little bit of a vendetta maybe coming out in that. But regardless, there's no peace in this world, that's why, right? There's not peace. It's not where we're going to find peace. It's a commentary on our society. It is absent of peace and harmony. We are. We're at war. There's a war in our society. Just leave aside the idea of Christianity and godly living. Our society is at war. We're going to fight about lots of stuff. And And it drives us, it drives this outrage, it drives the drama piece of it, the conflict, all these things. And we as individuals, as Christians, we can feed off of these things. These can drive us, these can motivate us, these can inspire us. But I'm going to submit to you, we're going down the wrong road to do that, right? We need to be living in the world of peace and harmony. But our world is not selling that. Our world does not offer that. And it's even can be, I would even term it in times of my life, an addiction. We're just addicted. We got to have it. We got to have more of it. And so today we have, and I don't watch these things. I love, PBS did a reality TV show. Remember the guy that lived in Alaska in a cabin out in the middle? Now, I love, that was reality TV to me. I don't, this other stuff, I just like, Wow, so I'm not buying personally, but we're drawn to it. We are. In some ways, we probably all are, right? So what about peace in our life? And I want to look at it individually within your own personal life. And I don't know if you'll recognize how I'm breaking the lesson. Now, next week's lesson is really about having peace with others in our relationships. We're going to deal with that. There's some other things to talk about there, but just within me. How do I deal with, I call these peace thieves. That's kind of hard to say. But there's intercommunal conflicts. What steals our peace? What's going to take away our peace from us? And so first thing that comes to my mind was a scripture reading we had this morning. It was Philippians 4. In Philippians 4, we'll read again there. And verse 6 through 7. Don't be anxious for anything, but by everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which is beyond all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. And whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, good repute, if there's anything excellent, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace, be with you. And so this idea of peace and harmony comes into play here because one of the peace thieves, a thief of, I don't know if I can say that for the power lesson. I'm not going to have to, but I got a few slides. One of the things that steals our peace is anxiety and worry. We can sit down and be worried and anxious about various different things, and it's going to steal our peace. We cannot be at peace when we're worried about something. And sometimes there may be legitimate reasons, but in the end, worry doesn't solve any problems, does it? So, right, and so not to spend much time on this, but be careful or don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, and whether it's of concern to you or not, even good things. Be prayerful for good things. But pray for your struggles, your trials, the things that are anxious, causing anxiety. And through that, and so let these requests, give it to God, right? One of the ways for us to have peace is to give the things that steal it to God. Turn it over to Him. Let Him deal with those things and not worry about them ourselves. And the peace of God, which is beyond our understanding, this is one of the concepts that I just really picked up on. We studied Ephesians. You know, not that we're not omniscient. We realize that. But God can do way beyond we could even imagine. That's the point of the Ephesian letter. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Ephesians 3:20. It's beyond comprehension what God can and will do. And so we want to think, well, God does this and does that. Well, we don't know. God said, pray to me, let me have it, and I'll take care of it. He mentions he'll guard our hearts and our minds from anxiety. He will guard. So one of the peace thieves, one thing that steals our peace in life is anxiety. And this is one of those burden we don't have to carry. This is one of these burdens we do not have to carry, but it can sure make our life miserable, can't it? We've all been there. We've all worried about things. We absolutely do. But we can give it to God, and He offers us peace. And so, it's something for us to remember as we live here. And then there's the conflicted mind, a mind of conflict. Again, when I mentioned this lesson, the idea of it is in my mind is about conflict. So I'm trying to teach the positive side of it as much as possible. But in Galatians 5, the carnal mind, or the mind of conflict, as I continue to contemplate the fruit of the Spirit and works of the flesh, when it titled this lesson, it made me think, as we think about conflict, this is it in Galatians 5. When you look at the works of the flesh, this is conflict. There's no peace in this. And so notice in there, first of all, these are heart issues. It's not just behavior. This is our heart. This is our attitude. This is how we approach things in life and others, and maybe our own personal problems. I'm going to stay, keep it to looking at ourselves for right now. Like I said, next week, especially in this note, we'll talk about how we interact with others. But notice the terms used here, enmity or animosity. We have enmity and animosity in our heart. That's going to steal our peace. Strife, striving, fighting, wrangling, those things. That's going to steal our peace. Jealousy, fits of anger. All those things steal the peace from us. Those are peace thieves. I'm not going to do it. So all this contention, turmoil, the railing, reviling, ranting, drama, and anger, jealousy, all these things, those all fit real nice in this category of the carnal mind and the works of the flesh. We will struggle with peace if we have these in our life. And so when we have animosity towards someone, enmity, when we are striving with things, we're jealous of things, anger, those things, they're going to steal our peace. We cannot be at peace when we're struggling with those things. And so I use the word the conflicted mind, the carnal mind there is what's under. And then, of course, you look at the works of the flesh, the other sins of sensuality and idolatry. You know, in our world that is obsessed with sensuality, and I'm using that really as a euphemism for sexual immorality. Our society is obsessed with it. Guess what? God says you can't be at peace and live that kind of life. If you think about it, you put it in terms of a monogamous life, that there's definitely, you can see peace can be found there. It's available to us. So in the worldly sense, in the carnal sense, these as well. There cannot be peace even within ourselves with these. So it's a carnal mind, a contentious life that is in turmoil. As I mentioned before, the addiction piece of it, that we can thrive off of these things. We can be motivated and inspired to do things in life, but if rooted in anger, it's no good. If it's rooted in jealousy, if we're doing better because of jealousy, the ends don't justify the means. It's not a proper motive. We can't be motivated by these. And so we got to work to have the right frame of mind, the right attitude towards life. And we can have peace when we remove these. These will steal our peace. And then what springboarded me into this thought and the lesson series for the month was in 1 Peter. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. The conflicts of life on earth. As we studied that for that lesson, and present that sermon, it really struck me and realized that the idea of conflict is something we can't just always avoid. You know, we can remove some of it, but there is going to be conflict. We can't avoid it all. We're promised we will have conflict in this life. And that's one of the big lessons that I learned from 1 Peter 2. So notice what it says here. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. So these fleshly lusts, we really, Galatians 5 kind of references those things. But keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so in which the things which they slander you as evildoers, so there's conflict, there's no peace with them, they're going to slander you, they're going to call you evildoers, they may, because of your good works, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So this idea, there's a war against our soul. That war involves those works of the flesh we just referenced. But there's this other war, the conflict is, first of all, we have a spiritual purpose, but we're physical now, and we live in a physical world, and we have physical needs. We have physical desires. I always talk about air conditioning and food. We like those cookies, and we like to eat, and we like to stay warm when it's winter. And we like to stay cool when it's summertime. We have physical needs and desires. And so we're always going to have that conflict in this life. We are strangers and pilgrims here, or aliens. We are not citizens of this world. We have we are of a nationality as Christians, but not of this world, of a spiritual nationality. So there's always going to be that conflict because we are carnal. We do desire these things. We enjoy these things, and there's always going to be a war with us. You know, standing for those fleshly lusts, that's part of that, but also the carnal mind of Galatians. And they're going to speak against us. You know, there's going to be conflict because they're going to speak evil about you. They're going to speak evil. I made a comment. I am reserved about commenting on some stuff in Facebook because things kind of escalate. And there was something that someone posted about the school districts and books and conveying, you know, introducing the concept of this gender dysmorphia that's going around, and I made a comment on it, and I knew when I made a comment on it, this was going to blow up. That would have made a nice comment. I didn't make a horrible comment, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't in her face, it wasn't a slap in the face. But I made a comment. Look, I said, what you teach kids is going to take root. You're teaching them these things. And sure enough, aside being anxious, I had anxiety, I said, I know it's going to blow up. The whole day. Went to bed Friday night. Oh, it didn't blow up yet. Saturday morning woke up. Boy, it blew up. Got called all kinds of mean things. Right? And they're going to speak against us. They're going to speak against Christianity. Even if you present it in good ways, it's not going to matter. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict. And so that can and will steal the peace that we have in our life. In the sum of it, conflict, useful. So the whole big picture, there is useful conflict, first of all. So conflict is inevitable. Peter taught us it would exist, period. It's going to. Jesus prophesied it. The apostles talked about it, on and on and on. Now, there's going to be conflict. So how do we have peace and conflict? So there are some conflicts that matter. Let's talk about that. So, right? Some are just distractions, right? I'm hungry. That's conflict. My mind's conflict. I want to eat something. I got to get my mind off eating something, or I'm not going to work. Or if I get to work, maybe I take my mind off eating something. Right? Some of these are just distractions. Right? Paying bills. Okay? That can be a distraction, but it can steal our thing. But so these are mundane, but they can take peace from our life. Some are sinful. Some are sinful to have. The things that take away our peace. Some things can be sin. And the reality is we want to, at least in some level, we realize we need to prioritize. What am I going to do? What can I do and still accomplish what I need to do, right? So I want to work, you know, we're going to go to church, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to make sure we take vacations. I want to lose weight this year. Well, that's a good one. But I gotta prioritize. I can't do everything. Sometimes we want to. Sometimes we try to, but we can't. So we gotta prioritize. And the idea that there is a need for change. The idea that if I realize there's some weakness I have, there's a conflict there. And that's a good one. If there's some guilt associated, that is a good one. We're not meeting the expectations. And that's one of the difficult things about the Christianity is we have such a high standard. We all realize that we're not meeting the ultimate standard that's been laid out for us of our Savior. We realize that. So there's always going to be some source of guilt that we're not meeting what needs to be done. And I'm already in my mind, I've got some lessons I want to talk about this idea of how do we manage that. So I've got some thoughts I want to share with you and some passages. But the idea is, the bottom line is, conflict because we realize we're not where we need to be is good. You know, it's like at work. I don't know something at work, but I'm going to go and I'm going to take training to learn that. So I can fix these things, or what? At least in my sector of work, I was a problem solver. So there was a lot of conflict when I didn't know how to fix it. And the longer it took to fix it, the conflict escalated even higher, right? So we want to minimize the things that are the gap that we have. We want to minimize that. And as long as there is a gap, you know, there's that conflict is got a purpose, and there's ways of managing that. I won't talk about that a different day, but the need for change should conflict us on some level. It should. We're not just naive. We're not just ostriches. At least we try not to be. Our ultimate goal is not to be naive. It's to be educated, to learn and improve. We probably look back and say, boy, it was nice to be naive before we knew stuff. Well, it was kind of nice, but looking back now, it's kind of embarrassing. So it's not nice anymore. it's the things in life that we've done when we're young, we like to redo, but we can't. We're not naive anymore. At that day, we were naive and we didn't have conflict about doing things. Today, we have conflict about it because we know we shouldn't have done it, right? But conflict can be useful in that we need to change. The need for change is important. As we deal with conflict in life or looking for peace in life, maybe we need to make better health choices. Maybe part of the conflict of our life is we're just not healthy people. I swear, at least for me, as I have endeavored to be somewhat healthier, I feel better a lot more often than I feel bad. And I notice a difference when I go and do things, that I feel comfortable and I'm not distressed or not having difficulty. So poor health choices, sometimes making better health choices, remove some conflict from life. It can. Right? But also, it's a trying to lose weight is added conflict. I want to eat. I want a snack. I didn't get all the sugar I wanted for meals. I think probably many of us have this weakness, this sweet tooth, we call it, right? That's a conflict, right? Sometimes there's things in life that consume too much time. Whether it's our hobbies, it could be just anything in life, even work. We can spend so much time that it takes all our peace away. We don't have room for things that make peace in our life. Whatever it is, the things that excess stress. You know, again, good things. I wanted and done some personal training this year. It got to the point where there was so much added stress. I thought, you know, we just keep rolling. I just keep adding things to my life, and I'll keep fixing. You know, I'll keep working on this and working on that. It got to the point there was so much more going on. I figured out I had taken on too much. Overdone it. That was stress. I didn't have peace, right? I lost my peace because of that. But with all the regular things in life that you deal with, and then you add on other things that you call accessories or things that are not necessary, and you realize maybe some of the unnecessary stuff I should have taken out, right? You realize that. So there's things we take. There may be things you can add to reduce stress that bring peace. Maybe that's a hobby. Absolutely true. A hobby, having a good hobby, can take away stress, can give you peace or be a way to alleviate some of the stress and the strife in our life, right? It may be work and some structure in our life. It could be education, Bible reading, Bible study in the church itself, and prayer. I should add to that, right? Those things are good. Those things can help us relieve and to find peace and to relieve stress and conflict from our life. But they're all individual for each one of us. Each one of us have something different. We have things that are that we find are kind of settle our minds and remove anxiety and put us at peace. There's just lots of tools in this life that do that, and we can use those. But certainly, from a religious perspective, in our life with Christ, and a life for God, and living for Him, those things are important. And they can help us find peace in this life. So removing some of these or adding some of these, they may minimize that conflict and allow us to be at peace. Maybe removing things or maybe adding things, right? And in your life, and you think if you're looking for more peace in your life, or you feel like you don't have the peace that you should have or could have, there's all kinds of ways of helping yourself in that regard. There's all kinds of ways. I was always one of those spread myself too thin. I just always think I could just take on and take on and take on and take on and take on, and then really I just couldn't deliver. Right? You get to a point and you just collapse. I'm done. I'm finished. I got to take a break. I got to get out of here. I got to do something. Right? I've taken on too much. We can spread ourselves too thin. We have a high performance society. I'm not convinced that. That is the cultures that existed prior to the industrial generation. We all live in a very high performance society. There's high demands, high expectations, high outputs, very efficient outputs. And we can't easily spread ourselves too thin. I personally took on way too much in life. I didn't have to. And So we can spread it. And in doing so, we add conflict. We get further away from an environment, a time of peace, and harmony. And so, so it is a commentary on our society. We are a society full of conflict. It is absent of peace and harmony. We're drawn to it, even addicted to it. Anxiety and worry can steal our peace, be it the conflicted mind and attitudes of Galatians 5. We cannot have peace and live in those worlds and those attitudes. The war against our soul, it exists, and it's going to happen whether it's over the material or whether it's the world itself that is at war with us, the world that would look at us with and call us evildoers. That peace, we're not going to get peace from that source. And we have to realize that. So now we have to manage it. And back to Philippians 4, we give it to God. Right? Let God deal with that. So conflict is useful. There is useful conflict. So conflict itself is inevitable. We're not going to escape it. And we'll talk about relational conflict more next week. But we need to make room, and I think we realize that. We want to make room for conflict that matters, right? If there's something that we're conflicted about that steals our peace, you know, if we're not doing what we need to be doing or we lack in certain things, that conflict is good. It promotes change. And so that is good. That is useful. But we can still have peace. And in summary, and I'm throwing this out here because some of these are lesson topics moving forward. First of all, we got to be at peace with God. I probably should have started there, quite frankly. I thought of that yesterday. As I studied this lesson, I didn't break it up till yesterday. And I thought, you know, I need to do one. We're going to talk about how we have peace with God. Because there are certain circumstances, we're at enmity with God, and there's not peace. And you'll never find peace in that circumstance, right? So peace with God in and of itself, I think, is going to be a topic. Peace within ourselves. You know, dealing with anxiety, with works of the flesh, our animosity and anger and jealousy and those things, those are all that the peace with ourselves. We can deal with those. We can fix those. We can adjust those and change those. Right? Being at peace with others. That's something I want to talk about in my plan. If I can make it to next week, will be next week's lesson. We'll see. And then the rest of it, we have to leave in God's hand. Right? God wants us to give it to Him. In the end, we can't and won't ever have peace here because in the end, God always wants us to look to Him. That's one, to me, the great lessons of life is things are hard here because He don't want us to get too confident. He don't want us to get too comfortable. He don't want us to be too at peace that we forget Him. Right? He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to give Him our troubles. He wants that. So leave the rest with God as much as we can. Do the best we can. And then also the idea of peace is balancing this idea is eternity is our primary goal. You know, if I don't have everything physically that I want in this life, it's not a big deal because I have something beyond that I'm hopeful for and expecting and living for. I'm not just living for what I have here. There's something beyond this. Well, there's materially or whatever else in life. Our perspective always has an eternal mindset towards it. Will help us direct our thoughts and direct our own hearts to be in a peaceful state versus one full of conflict and turmoil in this life. I hope you found this instructional in some way. It is a lesson. I wasn't sure if I could do it, quite frankly. And I wasn't sure how to break the lesson down, but I hope the material was useful for you. It was a good work for me to work through them, through the lesson and the different aspects of it. So encourage you to, if you have a lesson sheet, you certainly take it home and look at that as well, with all that material was on there. If you're not at peace with God, if you're not baptized for the remission of sins, you're not in a peaceful relationship with God. And Jesus in particular has instructed that we are to be baptized for remission of sins. His apostles carried out those instructions to all mankind of that day. And that brings you in a peaceful relationship with God. That breaks down that enmity that's between you and God that reconciles you to God. And that's the moment that it happens. And it doesn't mean that you stay there, but it means it gets you to that relationship. That's that starting point. And we always want to, anybody who wishes to be baptized, we will do that when you're ready, when you want to. But if you have, and we can still be a Christian, still be a baptized believer, and still be at enmity with God because we've chosen to go a different path in life. And if you've done that, and and we can pray for you, or other ways we can help encourage you in this life, we want to do that now as well. You're welcome to come let us know those things. If you'll come as we stand and sing our songs and then select it.